All right, welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're at Coach's Bar and Grill, Brian Darby's great establishment, where he always pitches in and helps us out with our 810 Cares for Kansas City food drive. Bring your canned goods, bring your non-perishable food items to us here at Coach's, and we will be happy to hook you up. You bring a $20 donation, get a free Papa John's pizza, give a cash donation, get entered to win the grand prize, which is serving food at a food kitchen with Matt Beasley. That's right, we're going to put you to work. It'll be one of the great afternoons, evenings, whenever the time is for you, as awesome experience and a great chance to get to know Matt Beasley. Give us a cash donation. We've already had a $1,000 cash donation given to us so far. We'd love for somebody to come on out. Be happy to promote your company if you do indeed have that kind of donation to make. We'd love to see it. And, of course, you can get your canned goods, Aldi's right across the street from us. Kevin's going to be at the Aldi's in Olathe in a little bit. We got the truck set up, taking your food donations. Please, as much as you can give, we'd love for you to give back, and we'd love to be the way you give back. Come see us here at Coach's at 135th. And while you're here, check out the awesome homemade meatloaf with mashed potatoes and gravies, or the Yankee pot roast with new potatoes and carrots. It's only $8.10. Everything made from scratch here at Coach's. Fantastic menu, TVs everywhere. Great place to get the family together, and a great place to have your holiday parties as well. They got a couple of different rooms, and they can expand it into one. It's where we do our postseason soccer parties here at this Coach's. They do a phenomenal job of taking care of you. So come see them here at Coach's. Let's talk to Jeremy Crabtree. He's with us on our Sprint guest line from 810 Varsity and his great Over the Middle podcast. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm doing great. I haven't had a chance to eat yet today, so I am now suddenly extremely hungry, sir. And thank you very much. You think you maybe could have some of that delivered over here to Channel 9?
You know what? I will see if we can. You know,
okay.
I'll bet you. Brian's the type of guy, he'd probably run it over there for you. And trust me, it would be worth the wait because
yes,
they do such a great job here.
It's tremendous.
All right. Oh, they phenomenal. And the patio upstairs on a nice day is absolutely, I think, the best in town. They do just got a great atmosphere up there as well. All right, Jeremy, let's start. What happened to my Shawnee Mission East Lancers? It's not that they lost. They got their doors blown off. What the hell happened?
They got Graham Mertz'd.
Yeah.
And, boy, that was our game of the week last week. And I thought Shawnee Mission East running attack would kind of neutralize the explosive Blue Valley North offensive tech. I thought they would be able to keep up with them. But the Blue Valley North defense did a tremendous job, held that option and that Veer attack ender check. But then Graham Mertz played like a high-level Division I quarterback does, and he was just outstanding. He accounted for 6 touchdowns, and sir, and it was one of the gutsiest, just outstanding performances that I've ever seen in high school football. It harkened me back to the last time I saw somebody just take over a game like that, and that was a guy by the name of Bubba Starling playing in the state playoffs a few years back against Blue Valley, and how he kept his team and almost just gutted his team, even though he was battered and bruised and bloodied, to a win that night. That Blue Valley won that game, but here in this game, Graham Mertz was just too much here. And it sets up just an outstanding Class 6A semifinal against rival Blue Valley.
Yeah, it does. And Blue Valley North hitting their stride. I mean, Blue Valley would seem to be the favorite. They're number 7 in our 810 Varsity Top 25. Blue Valley North number 12. Blue Valley would seem to be the favorite, but no, I mean, we know how teams can come together coming down the stretch, and when you got a quarterback that can make those kind of plays, are they actually the team that you like in this game?
Yeah, and you know what, I can see both sides. I mean, this is how this game was so close, and they played earlier in the season, and Blue Valley North looked like they had the game won, but the Tigers rallied and scored 10 points in the final minute 6 of the game with offensive push, but then also some amazing special teams plays. I like what Blue Valley's done. They've kind of settled in on Luke Bernard as their quarterback, and they've rotated back and forth all season long at the position, but Luke Bernard's a senior. He's more steady. He's the more consistent, and he's the guy that I think that kind of gives them that steady hand that helped them beat a very good Olathe North team 48-21 last week. I think he might be a huge difference maker for the Tigers here. They've got home field advantage. They've got tradition on their side. They were in the state championship game last year, so Blue Valley should be the favorite, but I think if Graham Mertz plays like he did last week, or even somewhat like he did last week, the Mustangs maybe pull off the upset in what is easily their biggest game in school history.
All right, let's stay on the Kansas side. Mill Valley at Aquinas down in Class 5. Does Mill Valley have enough to derail Aquinas?
No, I think they do, especially with the way that they're throwing the football around right now. They figure things out on their offensive line. Brody Flaming was very turnover prone early on in the season, including the game against Aquinas, and they've kind of righted the ship. They've figured out that to shorten up the passing game and not have him throw vertical on almost every single play. So they figured some things out here, and they are the two-time defending Class 5A state champs, but this is an Aquinas team that has just been destroying people in the playoffs. They've won 52-0, 52-13, 42-21 the last 3 weeks. Quarterback Will Swanson's been playing tremendous. Cameron Jackson's been outstanding also. They counted for 4 touchdowns last week against a very good Pittsburgh squad, and their defense is playing great. Everything tells me that this is Aquinas' game to win, and they should win. They're playing at home, but don't discount that Aquinas is 1-9 in semifinal games, and Mill Valley is the defending champ. So if you want to be the champ, you have to beat the champ. I think Aquinas does, but don't be surprised if this might be a little closer than what it was earlier this season when it was a 42-21 game.
That's right. Jeremy Crabtree just went Ric Flair. If you want to be the man, you got to beat the man, I believe, is the line you were were looking for
there.
Yeah, absolutely. I like it. All right, let's go to the Missouri side of things. Let's talk about Blue Springs and Christian Brothers.
Yeah.
Blue Springs, you know, no stranger to this position, but neither's Christian Brothers, and this one's on a neutral field. Who do you like?
Yeah, you know, I'm done doubting Blue Springs, Ren. done doubting them. And I guess, to be honest, I never truly doubted them. I thought it was just Park Hill's time last week. But, boy, did the Wildcats send a resounding message to all of Kansas City that they're still kings of Class 6. That 34-14 victory over Park Hill last week, Saturday, wasn't even as close as what it you know, ended up being on the score line here. They've done it with a beat-up offense. Avion Bailey has taken over the reins and actually was either the second or third on the depth chart at the start of the season, and has kind of figured things out. And their offensive line is big. Their defensive line is physical. CBC is going to be a great challenge. I mean, obviously, they beat them last CBC got them last year, and they're playing really good this year. They came over here to Kansas City and beat Rockhurst earlier this year, 28-3. They crushed a previously undefeated Eureka squad, 42-7. They've got very good defense, and they've got a quarterback. If you might recognize this last name, his last name is Gabbert, and his name is Brett. He's the younger brother of a certain former quarterback that played at Mizzou and a former number one pick, Blaine Gabbert. And Brett's going to be a recruit. He's already got some scholarship offers. I think this is a grinded out game with both defenses playing so well, but I like Blue Springs. I think they're just bigger, stronger up front on both sides of the line, and they're playing with a chip on their shoulder too. And maybe the X factor is going to be Caleb Marquez, the tight end H-back for them. I think he finds a way to score a couple touchdowns, and I think the Wildcats win this one.
Okay, let's go to Class 5, Carthage versus Staley. No one's beaten Staley yet, 11-0. Does it continue?
Yes, it will. And this was a good test last week. They had a challenge against Fort Osage, and it was two very familiar squads, Staley and Fort Osage, know each other so well. They know what their strengths and weaknesses are, and Fort Osage kept it really, really close until a long fourth-quarter drive where John Rayburn, who is likely going to be the winner for the Simonia Award, we can talk about that here in a minute, kind of took over. His coach, Phil Light, said that he was incredible, had 107 yards passing and 4 scores. He's the difference maker. This offense is too explosive. Carthage is 9-3. Haven't played as tough a competition. I think Staley just runs right over Carthage.
Okay. We're talking right now to Jeremy Crabtree, 810 Varsity. And, of course, his great podcast, Over the Middle, is the podcast where you can check out the very latest on the world of recruiting. What's in store on the podcast, by the way?
Well, you know, I guess there was some sort of big news coming out of Knoxville this week. And, we visit with Josh Ward of Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville about that Tennessee coaching situation and how it got really toxic down the stretch with Butch Jones. And there was a lot of recruits talking about how they got calls from Butch Jones the day of his firing and telling them to follow him to his next destination, which is about the biggest taboo/no-no that you see in recruiting and college football. You never really see that at all, but we saw it, and that had a lot of Tennessee fans up in arms, and which is no surprise at all. But then we also visit with Jason Sukumel of OrangeBloods.com, the great Texas Longhorn website on the Rivals.com network. We talked to him about how Tom Herman has kind of fixed the Texas recruiting world. And you and I have talked a little bit about this before, about how Texas is going to be in the top five, how they maybe have an outshy shot at number one. But we also have to visit with Jason a lot about how with Lincoln Riley down there at Oklahoma and Tom Herman doing his things at Texas, we're about to maybe enter a golden age of recruiting like what we saw with Bob Stoops and Mack Brown at OU in Texas, where they just take over this entire Midlands region and dominate the recruiting wars.
Yeah, all right. I can see that being a hell of a showdown between them. Tell me, you mentioned what's going on at Tennessee. How about the news that comes out today that Jim Leavitt had a handshake agreement to be the coach in waiting, to come onto the coaching staff, be the defensive coordinator, be the coach in waiting at K-State to take over in 2018, the report says. And the deal was nixed by Bill Snyder because he wants Sean Snyder to be the next head coach. That's not good for K-State recruiting any way you shape it, unless you're a kid that loves Jim Leavitt, because you're signing on to coach to play for Bill Snyder, and there are reports out there that it's like predetermined he's going to be out after this year. I know it's fresh. I don't suppose you've had a lot of time on the phone to talk with people, but what's your initial reaction to what that's going to do to K-State football?
Yeah, and I worked with Brett McMurphy, who reported that story at ESPN, and I know his sources, trust his sources, so I know what I tend to believe what he reported being true, and based on some of the rumblings I've heard also from my contacts. So that seemed to make a lot of logical sense here, but boy, K-State was recruiting is they did well. They actually went out and we talked about this before. They were out early on and were a little bit more aggressive in the recruiting before we hit the start of the season. They had a nice solid base of commitments, but K-State recruiting has been virtually stuck in park here since the season started, as it always tends to happen with Bill Snyder, because he wants his coaches coaching during the season, not recruiting during the season, and we've talked ad nauseum about that, how that's not a good formula to go out there and have a lot of success on the recruiting trail, because you have to keep holding these kids' hands and kind of keep stoking their egos and telling them great, and K-State doesn't have as large of a support staff system. It's often just a couple of recruiting operations folks kind of doing that, unlike other schools where they have 15, 20, even 30 people doing those types of things. So K-State's really at a big disadvantage when it comes to that standpoint, and now that this news is surfaced, I guarantee it will be something that will be used against K-State on the recruiting trail. It's obviously so fresh, it's hard to judge how much it will be used against them, but I guarantee you when it comes time to push comes to shove and the kids down to just two or three schools here in the next couple of weeks, as we're kind of getting to that point where kids will start taking official visits and kids will start making up their minds more and more, I guarantee a school is going to drop, well, why do you want to go there? They don't even know who their head coach is going to be in the next couple of years. And we've had that argument before, but now this just pours gasoline onto that fire.
Jim Leavitt's been my choice to be the next coach at K-State for a long time. I mean, I think he fits the mold kind of a Bob Huggins, maybe a diet Bob Huggins. I don't want to say that he had as much success at South Florida as Bob Huggins had at Cincinnati. But a guy that, you know, had some issues. He had a problem down there. I was fired for a reason, but to me has done nothing but rebuild his name. There's been no problems around him that we've heard of. Mm-hmm. He certainly has the pedigree You tell me. If I'm K-State fans, here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that if you don't make the move and go get Jim Levitt right now, that you could be watching him coach in Lawrence, Kansas at some point. Now, I don't think David Beatty's going anywhere this year. But, you know, David Beatty knows and Kansas knows at some point it does have to turn into wins and losses. Now, is that next year or is it after five full years on his contract? I don't know. But I would be terrified because I think Jim Levitt would be a great fit at Kansas as well if that job ever did come open. Now, to me, so that's my theory on it, right? Yeah, whole background to ask you, would Jim Levitt be a success if he were ever the head coach at K-State?
Yes, I think he gets the K-State culture. He gets that, that there's just certain disadvantages that they're going to have competing against some of the other schools, but he can utilize that and to his advantage because he understands the culture, understands what it means to be a K-Stater, understands the blue-collar attitude that you have to have and you have to outwork everybody. And Jim Levitt is a walking can of Red Bull. I mean, he is just so full of energy. He gets how to play the he knows it's going to sound kind of maybe wrong, but I'll say it anyways. Yeah, he knows how to put on the clown suit, so to speak, and go out and sing and dance for the recruits. And but he's also still a really damn good football coach too. So he gets those things. Right. He knows how to play the social media game. And to me, if you're looking for two people that could do this and do this the right way, and there are only two people that I think can, in my opinion, it's Jim Levitt and Brett Venables, the defensive coordinator at Clemson. You have to get people. Whoever follows Bill Snyder knows that they're going to have an impossible task to walk in those shoes, but you need to find people that get and understand what it is to be a K-Stater and how you have to do things differently than other folks and be ready to work and have that chip-on-shoulder attitude. And it's going to take a guy like that to be successful from a recruiting standpoint at K-State.
Jeremy, great stuff as always, buddy. Really appreciate the insight, and I look forward to talking to you again here real soon.
All right. Take care, sir.
All right, he's the best, Jeremy Crabtree. His podcast, Over the Middle, must listen to if you're hardcore into the college football and the college football recruiting. You can also see him at our 810varsity.com, where you can see the top 25. Even watch the games right there at 810varsity.com. Take a break, come back, talk more about what is the biggest story of the day, and that's the report that Jim Levitt had a handshake agreement to be the next head coach at K-State starting in 18, and it was kiboshed by Bill Snyder. That's coming up next here in the program.